From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. What an incredible program our producers have put together for you tonight. Absolutely. First of all, during the entire week now, we have incredible paranormal shows coming up for you. Yesterday, UFOs. Tomorrow, we're talking about underground bases and tunnels, just what is in those tunnels. Daryl Sims joins us on Thursday, the alien hunter. Then our very special Twilight Zone anniversary party on Friday night, plus some special open lines. Tonight, a major health program for you. So many people complaining about just all kinds of afflictions. We thought we would put together a series of panelists and experts throughout the evening, coming in, taking your phone calls, and just talking about some incredible health breakthroughs. But here's what's happening. British health officials temporarily suspended a vaccination program in an English city after a 14-year-old girl died a few hours after being vaccinated against the virus that causes cervical cancer. Natalie Morton died in a hospital on Monday, just a few hours after being given the Cervarix vaccine, which protects against two strains of what is called HPV, a virus that causes cervical cancer. In a moment, Dr. Len Horowitz will join us to talk about this vaccine and the dangers of this one. Parents might say honesty is the best policy. But when it comes to interacting with their own kids, mom and dad apparently stretch the truth with the best of them, according to a new study. From claiming the existence of magical creatures to odd consequences of kids' actions, parents often come up with creative tales to shape a child's behaviors and emotions. According to Kang Lee of the University of Toronto in Canada, we are surprised by how parenting by lying takes place. Our findings show that even the parents who most strongly promoted the importance of honesty with their children engaged in parenting by lying. In Taiwan, a 17-year-old Taiwanese boy has been arrested for chopping off his father's hands to avenge years of physical abuse. The boy cut through his father's wrists with a knife while he was asleep at his family's home. The 37-year-old father, now in stable condition, doctors reattached his severed hands. Americans worried about job security flared up in September, causing a widely watched barometer of consumer confidence to dip unexpectedly and raising more concerns about the upcoming holiday shopping season. And the recession has hit middle-income and poor families the hardest. You know the old saying, the rich get rich and the poor get poorer? Well, this is a widening economic gap between the rich and the poor, as Americans are rippling job layoffs, ravaged household budgets. They're having a tough time. The wealthiest 10% of Americans, those making more than $138,000 each year, earned 11.4 times the roughly $12,000 made by those living near or below the poverty line in 2008. A very powerful Pacific Ocean earthquake spawned towering tsunami waves that swept ashore on Samoa and American Samoa, flooding and flattening villages, killing at least 39 people, leaving dozens missing. Cars and people were swept out to sea by the fast-churning water as survivors fled to higher ground where they remain huddled hours after the quake struck early Tuesday. Many of them are there now. Signs of devastation were everywhere, with a giant boat washed ashore, lying at the edge of a highway in floodwater, swallowing up cars and homes. The magnitude quake between 8 and 8.3. It's huge. And Philippine authorities bracing for another storm, as the toll from rain and floods from a weekend typhoon now bearing down on Vietnam rose to over 240 dead, while damage climbed to nearly $100 million. And as we reported last night, Art Bell and family, they're doing okay in spite of the devastation out there in the Philippines. A NASA spacecraft designed to crash into a moon crater in the hunt for hidden caches of water ice as a new target. The decision means that NASA's La Crosse probe and its spent Centaur rocket stage will now crash into the larger crater called Cabeus and not the nearby and smaller Cabeus A crater previously targeted when they slam into the moon on October 9th. Science advisor head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland, with us. Richard, why did they decide to make this switch?
We're looking for more water. There is a very sophisticated NASA spacecraft in orbit around the moon tonight called Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, and it is its job is to scan this south polar region, these dark craters that never see sunlight, looking for the best optimum target for the La Crosse impact. And they switched because they found a place nearby in this larger crater, Cabeus, which, by the way, is named after a 15th-century Jesuit physicist who was the first to actually begin experimentation with magnetism. Just thought I'd throw that in there for people who are historical buffs. Anyway, this impact has a higher likelihood of finding the basic goal of this mission, which is underground ice on the moon. If we find ice, it means we can make rocket fuel. We can, you know, let astronauts breathe. We can develop colonies. It changes the economics of space flight totally. You could even, you know, load up rockets to go to Mars using the moon as a filling station. So finding water in abundance, not just little films of water like we reported last week, but really solid reservoirs which could be melted using solar energy or nuclear energy or whatever, is really the key, and that's what the La Crosse mission is aiming for, and that's why they changed the target.
Richard, this water story is getting weird. I mean, we go years without them talking too much about water on the moon.
Well, you know,
it seems every day.
Well, because as I'm finding out, there is a very deep backstory on this. It turns out now that NASA has been ignoring evidence from others, like the Russians, going back decades of water on the moon in much larger quantities. I mean, I've got Russian papers sitting ahead of me here, and I've got a NASA scientist who is trying to get NASA to pay attention. And let me read you anonymously three or four lines from his letter.
Sure.
He says, "I'm trying to convince NASA, Jim Green, Director of Planetary Sciences, to take the endogenous origin of water on the moon seriously." That means water inside the moon, like we said last week,
yeah,
as opposed to this NASA model that's somehow being created by the solar wind on the surface. He says, "Please keep me posted on any discussions of this hypothesis you see in the media, blogs, etc. The internal origin of water vapor model makes much rather different predictions about where ice should be, and it seems to fit much better with the available data than the alternatives." And then he says, "Based on what work has already been done, I don't think the solar wind model works. So far, people are talking through their hats when they should be eating them." That's a NASA planetary scientist who's a moon specialist.
That's a great quote. Let me ask you this. Do you think the moon once, just because of the stories of water now, might have had a dense atmosphere or no?
Yes. Anything is now possible, including terraforming. Remember, our model says there was enormous amounts of structures, ancient cities, these glass things we've been finding, and most of them are now buried. Our model says the water and other stuff. You haven't heard the story about the other stuff they're going to eventually release. The Indians. Remember, this NASA water story started with a NASA experiment riding on an Indian spacecraft from India called Chandrayaan and mapping the moon. And then it turns out the head of the Indian Space Agency on Saturday after the NASA press conference Thursday announced that their Mars impact probe, remember they had a little probe that they dropped off from Chandrayaan when it got to the moon, went into orbit? It took a 20-minute fall into the moon, making measurements on the way down, including something critical, which is called a mass spectrometer, which is essentially an electronic nose, where instead of looking at spectra, remote control, you're actually sampling the material as you fly through it on the way to impact with the moon surface. They found an incredible richness, a treasure trove of other molecules, George, in a thin, thin atmosphere at the moon's south pole. Now, my model says if there was once a civilization and there's lots of buried junk under the regolith, under the soil,
yeah,
it will be leaking all kinds of things that humans need to live, which include carbon dioxide, nitrogen, hydrocarbons, etc. That's what the Indian MIP probe found, and they have not published because NASA, it turns out, 10 months ago, asked them not to. So NASA is still dragging their feet on the biggest story of this, on any century, which is the moon used to be inhabited.
And we, of course, will have more from Richard C. Hoagland in the not-too-distant future. Richard's website's enterprisemission.com. his revised version of his book, Dark Mission, that he wrote with Mike Vera, darkmission.net. Thank you, Richard. Toyota says it will recall 3.8 million vehicles in the United States to address problems with a removable floor mat that could interfere with the vehicle's accelerator and cause a crash. So be careful. The company says it will be the largest recall in its history. Owners could learn about the safety campaign as early as next week. Our feature story at coasttocoastam.com. Oh, my. A mother in the United Kingdom shocked to hear an eerie voice say, "I'm alive," when playing back a home video she made of her infant. Did her video camera pick up the sound of a ghost? For more information and that video clip, you can go to the link at coasttocoastam.com. Actors Daniel Craig and Hugh Jackman halted a performance of their Broadway play because of an audience member's ringing mobile phone. Secretly filmed footage of the incident last week posted online sees Jackman tell the patron to, "Hey, answer the phone," during the performance of A Steady Rain. "We can wait," Jackman is seen saying. "Don't be embarrassed. Just grab it." Up next, we're going to grab Dr. Len Horowitz and talk with him about some of these vaccines. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie, and so begins our entire program tonight devoted to special health issues. And we begin with Dr. Len Horowitz. He was on with me in August of this year talking about this virus, the human papilloma virus, this vaccine that causes cervical cancer, warning people don't take the vaccine. There have been some deaths reported, and here we have a story of a 14-year-old girl in Britain who died off hours after being vaccinated against this virus. Here's Dr. Len Horowitz. Len, this is a sad story.
Oh, it's horrible, George, but it's part and parcel of what we're looking at with vaccination intoxications and foreign genetic materials being pumped into people like it's, you know, like it's trick-or-treat candy time, you know? It's crazy.
How can someone die so quickly, just a few hours after being given a vaccine like this? What happens to them?
Well, in some of these acute cases, and by the way, these are rare, and that's why it's sick and sad, the official malfeasance in the vaccine industry and the con on the public, because most vaccine deaths and injuries occur months and even years after vaccinations. So that really condemns all vaccinations in terms of lacking science, that we think that these are safe and effective, but the tests only go, for example, with the flu vaccines now for like 4 to 6 weeks, 6 weeks at most, and then they're rushed in fast track based on earlier studies that are really horrific when you really look at the science and how they conducted the studies. And so basically, how to answer your question, well, there's immediate response, like allergic responses that overwhelm the immune system, the fainting that occurs very commonly. In fact, it's even in the mainstream press, and it's even in the FDA's admissions. 13% of the girls that get Gardasil develop seizure-like activities or fainting type, or they get muscular jerking. That's 13% of the children that are getting this have this kind of immediate adverse reaction.
That's huge.
It's a huge number. Now, what is like fainting? Well, basically, if fainting is associated with lacking oxygen to the brain, and if that lacking oxygen to the brain continues, well, for a couple minutes, you've got a brain shutdown. And basically, that's what happens in these most severe cases. So it's really a combination of like an overwhelm of the nervous system. And it's not surprising. I mean, look at, there's mercury in these. There's the adjuvants themselves. That's the ingredients that are supposed to stimulate the immune system are hideously toxic. And so you've really got a tremendous risk of having these kinds of adverse reactions. Thus far, and this is not honest truth, what I'm telling you is the propaganda. This is the FDA's and the CDC's data, which is unreliable, because when they do the vaccine adverse event reporting system, or VAERS, they are missing about 90% of the actual injuries and the actual deaths, because they're not reported easily or readily by the doctors who feel guilty, and the hospitals don't want lawsuits, so that they really lack reporting. But right now, they tell us that there's been 9,749 adverse reactions, 21 reported deaths since 2006, 10 miscarriages, 78 severe outbreaks of genital warts, and 6 cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is the autoimmune disease that my mother died from after Yes. getting the flu vaccine.
Len, I don't tell people to get a vaccine, and I don't tell them not to. But what kind of advice would you give parents who are probably very concerned about the livelihood, the future of their children, their daughter especially now? What do you tell them? What do they do? How do they research this?
Well, that's a really great chance. You know, the issue is, first of all, do not get vaccinated with anything. Zero, zip, nada, nothing. Do not get vaccinated. I urge everyone listening. Because the bottom line is it's not based on science. It's not based on anything but a financial and propaganda agenda. And in the last couple of weeks, we have really royally exposed. If you go to my affidavit, which I sent to the FBI, and we have now legal groups across the United States that are actually advancing appeals to courts to issue injunctions, temporary restraining orders on the health officials who are administering these vaccinations and the mandates that are now affecting military and first responders like hospital persons. These people are compelled, if they want to keep their job, they're mandated to take these, which is a violation of the U.S. Constitution and religious freedom if you're a religious person and you want to exempt. But the bottom line is that this is a very, very manipulative program that is you can't, as a parent, trust. And what we've exposed in the affidavit is that, for example, the major movers and shakers in the vaccine arena are the major movers and shakers in mainstream media. You're looking at, for example, and I researched what you had asked me to look into tonight, this HPV, as we've been keeping track of it. The source of this intelligence that you received was from U.S. News and World Report, which is Mortimer Zuckerman. That's his. He's the editor-in-chief. He's a humongously wealthy co-industrialist with David Rockefeller. He's got his hands completely in with SmithKline Beecham. He was the guy who was promoting the Limerix vaccine, which killed and or injured 700,000 Americans before the FDA pulled that vaccine off the market. That's U.S. News and World Report. And then look at the Reuters news service, which in August, when we did that report together in August, that came from Reuters. They were saying that, oh, this new Gardasil vaccine is going to be so safe and effective and wonderful. Meanwhile, who is the director of Reuters news service? It's Thomas H. Glocer, who is a Merck Pharmaceutical Company director since 2007, and he was intimately involved in, you know, the profiteering on this vaccination, and he's the one that's telling the world how wonderful it is. So you have your question is, how can parents get real information? They can't get it through the mainstream media. They've got to go alternative. And when you go alternative, that's where you have people like Etta West in Canada. You have Ingrid Cassell-Harkins, who runs Vaccination Liberation in Ohio. You have all these people that full-time, out of the love of their hearts, they're putting total effort into trying to wake people up to the truth. These are the people that get the research articles, that scour through Google searches, that find out that the adjuvants, the additives in the vaccinations are hideously chemically toxic. You know, George, you know what they're adding to the flu vaccine, for example?
Oh, tell me, Len. Oh, God, tell me.
They're actually adding the HIV spermicide, nonoxyl 9. Which is a HIV killer spermicide. They actually have that in what's called MF59, which is an adjuvant that's added to the vaccinations, including Baxter Corporation.
What do they do? Just grab ingredients on a shelf and just start mixing them?
You know, they actually have a various studies, and it's amazing to me because there's studies on both sides. Like, you know, you'll have, for example, with nonoxyl 9, They show you that if you add this to vaccinations, the first reports say you're going to have spontaneous miscarriages and you're going to have all sorts of potential birth defects in women who take this. Now, of course, with the flu vaccines, they're recommending it. And get this, here's a news shocker. The studies for pregnant women that they're telling the pregnant women now that have just been done that say that the flu H1N1 vaccines are safe and effective for pregnant women was done in the women's hospital that's directed by Elizabeth Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch's mother, I kid you not, who's literally part the grand dame of the royal family of England, total great friends with Queen of England, and that this is the place where they're testing for babies, infants, and children and pregnant women.
There is a bizarre connection, Len. Len's website will be linked up with our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com, but it's drlenhorowitz.com. I'll be back in a moment as we continue with our health reports tonight with Dr. Len Saputo. Then next hour at the half, beginning next hour, we'll open up all the phone lines for you as well. And you better stay a little bit longer because we've got a full program for you of major health issues. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. For the rest of this hour, we've got Dr. Len Saputo, 1965 graduate of Duke University's Medical School, board certified in internal medicine. After his awakening to the deep flaws in conventional medicine, Dr. Saputo developed a new paradigm that is now known as the integral health medicine. Dr. Saputo founded the Health Medicine Forum in 1994, went on to found and direct the Health Medicine Center in Walnut Creek, California, one of the first integrative clinics. His most recent book, A Return to Healing, Healthcare Reform, and the Future of Medicine. He's with us this half hour. Len, how are you? Welcome to Coast.
Thanks, George, so much. It's a great privilege to be on your show.
You know, I spent the last Saturday 8 hours here in St. Louis in the emergency room with my daughter. They thought she had a rupture of her abdominal muscle and wall. She's okay now. But I've got to tell you, Len, it was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. The doctors at the hospital did a superb job for her, but getting there through the emergency waiting room was one of the worst experiences of my life and of hers. I mean, it was truly, truly incredible. I bet this happens all over the place, doesn't it?
It does. You know, it's not the doctors that are the problem. The doctors are the good guys. They're trying to do the right thing. We went to medical school to help people. But the system has gotten so out of hand. What we've got now is an assembly line kind of HMO medicine, where we're taking what we can get, and it's being dictated by people who are the bean counters, not by the people who care. We're way out of control.
And sadly, we timed it when she went into the hospital in the emergency room, where an hour later in came the gunshot victims. Mm. And so they took precedent to her, and I mean, it was just a mess. Tell me a little bit, though, of integral health medicine. What is that?
Well, we're looking at a complete system of health care. It's not just about treating people for their acute problem or for their chronic problem. It's about looking to the deeper meaning of illness in the context of the person's whole life story. So we're looking at what's wrong with them, how it affects them physically, biochemically, bioenergetically, emotionally, and spiritually, and even cosmically. When somebody gets sick, it's not just that they're losing some kind of physical function and having some kind of emotional challenge. It's about really looking deeper into the whole story of what the illness means in their spiritual journey. So it's stretching ourselves a little beyond what we're taught in medical school. You know, when I went back to Duke Medical School, graduated in 1965, we were taught to be scientists, to step aside, to not get involved, because our emotions might interfere with our judgment. Mm-hmm. And what I've found in my 40 years of practice is that it's quite the reverse. Yes, it's important to know the details that we have, that we learn in medical school. In fact, they're critical, and there may be a time when a certain fact will save somebody's life. But we need to take a deeper look at what healthcare means and the meaning of healing as opposed to just curing or fixing symptoms assembly line style. That's what integral means, George.
And that's so important. Are you finding, Len, that nowadays people need to take care of themselves? By that, I think mainstream medicine is good. There are a lot of good doctors, as you said. But mixing it with alternative medicine, to me, is the right way to go. Are you finding that more people are beginning to say, you know, I think I've got this wrong with me, and then they go to a doctor, and at least they give the doctor more information that they normally would not have a few years ago?
Well, I think people have to take responsibility for themselves. What we're finding is you can't buy the direct-to-consumer ads that'll tell you, here, take this pink, this purple pill, this Pepcid. Then you can go eat the whole pizza and you won't have symptoms. It's common sense that lifestyle is a critical part of keeping ourselves in the best shape we can. What we eat, how much we exercise, our sleep, our stress levels, what we weigh, and having a meaningful purpose in our life, that's our responsibility. You can't give that away. You can't believe the $5 billion of direct-to-consumer ads that are out there that are trying to convince you differently, because medicine's become a business, not a service.
I'm beginning to think that the two biggest cures for illnesses and other ailments, reduce your stress and watch what you eat.
Big deal. And exercise. Big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the action is. And when you appreciate that and you realize you can't buy all this hullabaloo that people who have something to gain, like in Big Pharma. Big Pharma is something that is responsible to its stockholders, not to people to get better. If they can sell a drug, the stockholders are happy. The CEO is a wonderful guy. But is he? And it's the same thing with the insurance industry. It's gotten out of control. They're not trying to help the people. They're trying to sell policies. And then they're trying not to give services if they can get away with it. And so they've become totally irresponsible, and they have to be stopped.
When you talk about exercise, and you don't mean having to, let's say, jog until you're ready to pass out.
Right.
I see so many joggers, Doctor, on the side of the road. I want to stop and ask them if they need a ride. I mean, they look like they're going to fall over and die. Why do they jog to that extreme?
Well, they're trying to follow some of what they know is their own good advice, but they aren't following all of it. So they're not in shape. They're overweight. They don't get enough sleep. They're burdened out with a lot of putting out the fires that they do, and they want to be in good shape too. So you see these heavy guys who are breathing fast, and they're more apt to cause a problem than they are to solve their problem. There's a common sense approach to wellness. That's a big deal. And you know what that is if you use your common sense. You don't want to be that weakened warrior that goes out there and falls over in a pile of rubble with a bad knee or a back or a shoulder.
Right.
You want to do it sensibly. We got to come back to common sense values in this country. That's what we need.
Vaccines are coming out really soon for swine flu. I don't know how they could make a vaccine for a flu that hasn't really mutated yet, but they're going to.
Well,
how do you feel about the possibility of the mandatory vaccines that some states are looking at right now?
Well, it's a terrifying thought because it's wrong. I mean, look at Massachusetts. The Senate has passed a bill, I'm sure you know about it,
yeah,
that the House hasn't passed yet and hopefully won't, that could fine you $1,000 a day, put you in prison for 30 days, and maybe force you to take the vaccine anyway, and the vaccine is no bloody good. I mean, we know that it's you're right. If it has to take a mutation that's substantial in order for the vaccine to work, and they're out pumping this virus out now, this vaccine out to this virus, thinking that, well, maybe somehow it'll have some benefit, but it's such naive thinking. It's almost got no chance. It may work against preventing the flus that are going around now, but let's face it, there have only been a few hundred deaths against that. And back in 1976, I'm sure Len Horowitz must have told you about this, back in 76, when they were pumping this vaccine out to everybody, there were more complications from the vaccine than there were from the swine flu at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, here you are. You're a doctor. You're an MD, not a PhD. You're an MD.
Right.
Would you get the vaccine done for your family?
No chance.
Right now? No way.
Chance. No. Well, that's just silly. It's almost like that's asking for trouble. You don't even know if it's going to work. Just because it makes antibodies against the virus doesn't mean it's going to prevent the flu. Those tests have never been done. We have inadequate studies. It could be a dangerous thing.
Am I off base, Len, to assume that it's possible, maybe very possible, that this swine flu, this mutated version that they've been talking about, may have been made in a lab, and they may have let it out, whether intentionally or not. I don't know. But,
well, you know, I don't know either. You know, you read about things like that, and your imagination can take you any place, and it's a logical thing that should be considered. Do I know what happened? No, I don't know. Do I worry about it? I'm beginning to. I think it's something to think about. I hope
sure
it's
does.
Not true.
Can we naturally and holistically take care of ourselves?
Definitely. In fact, it's the only way to do it. Lifestyle is such a big deal. I mean, we talked about the simple things to do, and lifestyle is critical. And holistically, yeah. I mean, it needs to be done body, mind, emotion, and spirit, because those are, that's one thing, not four things. We tend to look at those as pieces, but they don't exist in pieces. There's only one thing. We're hardwired to respond with every experience we ever have or ever will have or ever did have in all those dimensions every time. So we have to take that kind of responsibility too. You're right. We are responsible.
You know, I'd be in favor of some kind of health plan if it was connected to some qualifications. And the qualification would be, hey, we're going to give you modified health, maybe even free health plans, but we have done calculations and your body index fat is way too high.
Yeah.
You got to get that down. Your glucose levels got to get down. We're talking about that next hour.
Sure.
But to come up with some parameters to give people to say, if we're going to do this for you, you need to do this for yourself. Would that work?
Well, we have to teach people, and we have to give them programs that they can follow. Everybody knows this information. It's not news, but not enough people are following it. When 2/3 of America is overweight or obese, and we're getting diabetes like crazy and hypertension and heart attacks and strokes and cancer, these are preventable diseases. There should be a hierarchy in the way we treat people. The first thing always should be lifestyle. If that doesn't work, then we look for non-invasive therapies, things like Chinese medicine or Ayurveda or chiropractic or homeopathy, things that aren't going to hurt you. If that doesn't work, let's get real risky. Let's take vitamin pills or supplements, you know, really get out there and do something aggressive. And it's a safe, effective way to treat medicine. This whole business of nutritional medicine or orthomolecular medicine is a real thing. If that doesn't work, now let's go to the doctors. Let's use the drugs. Let's use the surgeries. Let's use those fantastic technologies. We've got so many of those technologies out there that are absolutely miraculous. But let's not resort to those as the first thing. The first thing is our responsibility. We all know that. Our doctors know that. Big Pharma knows it. The FDA knows it. Congress knows it. The medical research industry knows it. But who's doing it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've always looked at these programs, and I do them often because I think it's so important that people take care of themselves. And, you know, if just one person listening tonight takes this advice that they're going to hear from you and the other experts,
yeah,
and changes their lifestyle, and it gives them 5 more years,
right,
or 10 more years, or saves
life,
their life and gives them a quality life, to me,
yeah,
it's worth it. And I look at two things. One, of love of your family and take care of your health. And I have always said those are the two most important things. They're more important than money, more important than anything else. And I'm beginning to think that maybe taking care of your health might be, and this is going to sound strange, but I'll explain it, might be more important than love of family, because if you're dead,
yeah,
it doesn't matter if you love your family or not, because whatever you were doing on this planet to help them or take care of them, it's gone. Because you haven't taken care of yourself.
You just said the thing that's the core issue. We should be immersed in our relationships first and service first. Then we should be worried about our materialism. And we've got it backwards in this country. We've got way out of balance. We've gone from materialism that started when our forefathers came to this country because we didn't have it. We wanted that freedom of economics and the freedom of religion. And we got it, and the pendulum started swinging. And it hasn't stopped. And it's so out of balance that Congress now is corporately oriented. They're responding to big business. They're not responding to you and me. They come out, they ask us to give us their vote. We give them their vote, then they go to Congress and they forget about us giving them the vote. And what do? They get in alignment with Big Pharma and with the insurance industry. George, that's why I wrote this book. I can't stand it anymore. I mean, we've got these things out there that we need to know about. We need to expose Congress and its corruption and the FDA and its corruption and all the stuff with Big Pharma and in the insurance industry and the medical research industry and medical education. That's what we need to know. Then the answers are simple. Any lame brain can figure it out then. That's why I wrote this silly book.
You know, when I look at how aspartame got approved by the FDA, it just sickens me.
Lynn. Yeah, thank Rumsfeld for that.
Yep. Yep.
A conspiracy. There's a lot of conspiracy out there, and we're falling asleep at the wheel. We've got to go back to grassroots democracy, because it's the only way we're going to get it back. We've got to claim what our forefathers did for us, and we've got to claim it with a vengeance. And if we don't reclaim it, who will? Because we've lost it. It doesn't belong to us anymore. All that work that they did back in 1776 is gone for what? To get us in a position where we're being controlled by people because they want our money and to control what we do. That's got to stop.
And that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's
this
control factor.
Absolutely.
Are our schools teaching, and because this didn't happen when I was in school, but I never saw a course of this is proper nutrition for you. This is what you should do. This is what your lifestyle should be. And I'm talking about when I was in fifth or sixth grade or something like that. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, well, you're right. Well, I didn't remember seeing it in medical school, George. I had an hour of nutrition in medical school. I had to spend the last 20 years learning it myself to find out that nutrition matters.
Man.
And, you know, doctors don't understand about nutrition. They don't understand about detoxification. What they understand about is, here, take this pill for that problem. And it's not a malicious thing. These are good people trying to do the right thing. And they're just on the wrong track because they've been taught wrong.
A Return to Healing. Where do you get this book, by the way?
Amazon will do it, or you can go to our website at areturntohealing.com.
When you were first starting to write it, what did you think about? What did you say? I've got to write this book. This is why.
Well, it was we have to make a difference. We have to change the system we've got. You can't spend $2.3 trillion a year to the tune of $7,000 per person and 18% of the gross national product and be ranked 37th in the world in overall quality of health care. Something's wrong with that. And I figured that out about 25 years ago and didn't know what to do with it for a while until my wife got sick and I had to discover something that was outside the mainstream to cure her from what would have been a fatal disease. And then it was no way back. You can't stop. You have to go forward. It's your responsibility as a human being to take healthcare to another level that's right, that's preventive, that is integrative, that's holistic and person-centered. That's a system we've come up that's called health medicine, and that's what we teach, and that's what I practice.
I wish when I was 30 that I would have known what I know today about health and nutrition and taking care of yourself. I kick myself, Lynn. I kick myself every day. But you know what? You can't go backwards.
No. Don't want to go backwards.
No.
Let's figure out what it is now. Let's get on the right track. Let's go back to the grassroots of America and teach them with programs about nutrition and exercise and stress reduction and sleep. Let's teach them about grassroots politics. Let's create a revolution that's peaceful. You don't have to throw a single stone and you'll win. If you do what Gandhi said, just be the change you want to see. You can't fail that way. It's impossible. And we have to wake up to that premise and take action on it.
You know what I find to be so remarkable? This planet, through the Amazon forest or wherever, has the remedies for so many illnesses. And yeah. I just, other than getting very spiritual here.
Yeah, well, you
can't understand. Yeah, you have. I mean, that's why it has it.
That's
I mean,
right.
If you took the spirituality out of it, and you really can't,
then
you go crazy trying to figure out, how does this planet have these cures?
Listen, Mother Nature is perfect, George. Absolutely perfect. All we have to do is open our eyes, listen to it, and live with it. And we've lived with it for thousands of years. And just because in the last 200 years we've come up with this thing called medicine and the pills, we're going to all of a sudden upset Mother Nature, outfox her. We're going to have this fight against disease, fight against cancer, fight against diabetes, and obesity. Come on. We got to get back to taking responsibility. Live with Mother Earth. Do it the way it was designed to do. And guess what? We'll be healthy.
I believe this planet's alive, and it's trying to help us.
You're right.
Tell me about your website. How did they get to you?
AReturnToHealing.com. That's where the book is, and a lot about it. And if you want to learn about my other work, you can go to alternativehealth.com.
returntohealing.com. We've got that link up there for you, Len, at coasttocoastam.com. Great job, by the way, with your work. And more importantly, you know what? There's something special about a medical professional such as you that steps outside of the bounds, who probably gets criticized sometimes by your peers. But you know what? It's so important. You've got guts, Len.
Well, you know, it would take more guts to not do it, because it's the wrong thing not to do it. You have to follow your heart. You got to do what's right. And what we'll find is there is a return to healing.
When I come back, we are going to be talking about raw foods. We're going to talk about how to lower your blood glucose levels. Some of you may be walking around right now with type 2 diabetes, regardless of your age, and you don't even know it. And that could put you out of commission for the rest of your life. So we'll be back, and then at the half, at each hour from now on, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.